You ever see something so true that you couldn't unsee it? Something that you just knew would serve you. Whether it be self-awareness, plant medicine, a lover, a career. That's what we get down to here. Welcome to Disciplined Stoners, the gateway drug to mindfulness. Spark up or don't, and enjoy the show. Glad you're here.
And welcome back to another episode of Disciplined Stoners. I'm your host, Eleven.
My name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness.
And today, I'm going to blaze this up right away, baby.
Get it going.
Get it going.
We need some weed. It's morning time.
It's a morning podcast.
Remember, these are a little bit lighter.
I know. I always forget.
So just like,
don't. It's a morning podcast.
Yeah. So there's two cuts here. There's two ideas. So blaze up with us because we're going to get it going. The first idea here is necessary anxiety. Okay. We got necessary anxiety because, like, we got up and our schedule today only offers the opportunity to shoot in the morning. And that's cool. So when you get up and you kind of, like, scatter around to make it happen, or, like, last minute, like last night I was cooking dinner, or rather, like, hesitating on dinner. We were having guests over. And I gave myself an hour check-in before, like, they were here, and I realized, like, oh my God, I don't have, like, everything I need. And that sucks. And, like, these are Winnie's friends, so there was definitely, like, a pressure from her. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you can disappoint me in front of my friends? Like, there's this, like, major pressure. And then I almost had, like, an anxiety attack. Like, there's a difference between simply thinking anxiety and really feeling anxiety. And I'm the first to be like, that's not true. But it, like, bubbles up in your chest and feels warm kind of and weird and buzzing like a mosquito and, like, itchy all of a sudden. And then, like, you're just, like, totally overwhelmed. Like, all I kept doing is just repeating, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And then I made it through that. And then we wake up to, like, let's go. And it's just, like, a lot of responsibility sometimes, even though it's, like, all the things I ask for. And yeah, that's just kind of intense. So I'm kind of coming from that energy. So this podcast has started off, hey, let us talk about all the mindful tools we know. And now it is, hey, let's talk about how fucking wild and fucked up we are and see if we can solve it within the hour.
I think that's kind of always what we're... Is this good? Can you hear me?
That's perfect.
Okay, I think that's kind of always what we're aiming towards is, like, to show you our humanity. I actually want to share with you, I got a message on Instagram this morning...
What's Instagram?
I know.
You want to talk about anxiety?
But this message is really lovely, okay? So thank you to this person. Hey, Winnie, just wanted to drop by to say I've been listening to yours and 11 podcast on Disciplined Stoners, and it's been such a fun journey. You guys are so real and inspiring me to mindful topics. Keep up the good work.
Oh.
So just that, I was like, oh, wow. I wrote her back, and I was like, I really, like, needed to hear that right now.
Need those messages.
Yeah.
A lot of them start off with, like, hey, man, especially with my music, I'm sure you hear this a lot, and you don't. I'm like, no, I still hear it. You can still tell me.
Yeah, you could always encourage us to keep going, because there are, like, it would have been super easy to, like, give ourselves sort of, like, a chill day and, like, I wouldn't just relax and wake up easy and whatever and then not do the podcast and not have a release.
Well, that's not an option for me. I would do the podcast.
So, but that's what I'm saying. Like, but it would have been easy. Like, we have guilt and stuff around it now, I think. Like, it's just, you're right, it is not an option.
Have we ever missed a week? We've missed 1 week, right?
I think... one or two weeks in three years.
It was. We definitely had something for that other one. It was a really short one that I paired with a live performance or something.
Yeah.
We came on the other day. It's only a half hour. But yeah, there was only 1 week that we didn't drop an episode.
Yeah.
And it's because we were away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also just though we should look at that as well. Like, I know that we're being consistent, but we have done this for 3 years and, like, maybe it's time to switch it up. Like, I my tarot reader has told me, like, look at what works and then start doing that. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and I don't know if this is the right time to even talk about it on the podcast or not, but I was like, You Hungry, those two episodes have way more views than our podcast episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
why are we even doing a podcast?
Why are we pushing this podcast so hard when we have other things that have already proven to us to get more engagement? And like, I don't know if the answer is like maybe do a podcast every other week and do like a lifestyle piece every other week.
The answer is a brand. Invest and partner with us so we can outsource the ability to have this podcast produced without us having to do it, and then we can do a cooking show. Because as it stands right now, I taught Winnie how to edit, and that's cute, and that's good, but, like, I edit it still. So we need to, like, get a production partner, really, before we do anything else. Also, think about it. I've just had 3 years of learning how to put this together.
Yeah.
So it's like, asking me to, like, not do this now at this point when it's finally good is a little bit of a kick in the pants. Because, like, I built this format, right?
Yeah, like, I'm just saying, like you said this the other day, like, how long am I going to do something for this the same thing
expect the same result?
A different result.
A different result from the same action.
And, like, both of us are like, I want to do this podcast until 600 episodes, but I'm just like, what if it wasn't a week? Like, what? Because we can't add things. Here's the thing, is that we can't add any more content to all of our friends watching right now.
Like, and I appreciate you and glad that you, like, you know, like it and want it, and that's good, and we want to do it. But is this the, are you watching the dissolve of the podcast?
Are we breaking up?
Never. They're like, never do an episode in the morning again, Discipline Stoners. You don't have a right attitude yet. And that's true. I'm still in wake up mode. But I'm not saying pull the plug like Winnie is here. I don't know what you're really saying.
I'm
to
not
be
saying
honest.
Pull the plug.
I'm not going to stop the podcast.
We're not going to stop the podcast. I'm just saying, like, we have this other show that both episodes have doubled the views on those episodes, and I know that it's a lot heavier. I'm just spitballing here. I'm here to
love
show
it.
You that we're showing up messy.
Yeah.
And the point is that we're showing up.
Yeah.
I follow this woman on Instagram called Inspired to Write.
Yeah.
And she's just like, just keep doing it. Just fucking keep doing it. If your art is there, and we want to do it. That's why we're here. That's why we woke up early. That's why we're in a bit of an annoyed state, because we're like, there's two things going on. We want to be here, and we also want this to feel a little bit easier.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, you know what? When you first asked that question, I answered it in my head. The reason why I like having a podcast is because it offers the opportunity for us to have others on, mm-hmm. and share the platform.
100%.
So if it was just a cooking show, I might have, like, other chefs on to come help me make a dish or something, but
I'm just saying we couldn't have Keith Pedro
on and just point at the things I'm cooking. You know what I mean?
Of
like,
course
there's
not.
Good opportunity here to have
conversation. If you love Action Bronson's show, so I actually would disagree with that.
Oh yeah, I could have good conversations as I'm cooking. We just need a baller ass kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. So that's the limitation. It's nice. It's nice to work this out.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And like a production thing, right? Like, this is, it's borderline like nobody else is doing it. And that's where somewhere deep down I feel this huge point of pride when, like, the hosts or owners or CEOs ask me, like, how do you do it? And then the production people and the producers and the camera people ask me, how do you do it? And then the branding people ask me, how do you do it? And it's like, oh, I'm doing five departments, like me, and then there's you. Like, you're a host, you're like a co-producer, you're like the booker, like, you know, like, there is teams for do. And this is, we're in the age of that ever since YouTube, you know, and like people who we like love and admire, like Brigitte and Andrew, like, yeah, you have to do everything. Like, you have to do everything. And then it's like you realize in the industry that you're competing in, if you make it anywhere or do anything or become notable at all, then, like, you realize you're competing. Like, me alone in this podcast is competing with, like, a team of like five people, like literally like the other podcasts I know, like at least their minds get together. Like me and Wynn talk about like what we're going to talk about as we are shooting.
Like, some, yeah,
there's most all times.
Yeah, it's like, always free flow.
There's no like predetermined this, and there's no like, oh, that person's in the industry, we got to do this. There's no strategy. It's just so like, I fuck with you, homie. Come talk your shit, man. This is just a block, man. This is just a block.
So I want to go back to what you started with about this concept of necessary anxiety.
Yeah,
and if you do truly believe that it's necessary,
get your shit together. Just sometimes you need a little kick. I don't think it was necessary for me to feel like your anxiety coming at me yesterday. Like, I still would have checked in at 6 and like figured it out and like ran to the store, and yes, it was late, but like for someone who doesn't cook, that looks a lot more scary than someone who can just chop an onion quick. Like, you know, like I understood the situation differently because of my previous experience with cooking and stuff like that. So there was like an element of like unnecessary angst, but I did need to like kind of snap up and get my shit together if I was gonna host cook this meal. You know what I mean? If I was going to present the way I agreed to. And I think that's sometimes important as well when I'm like, as an actor, you know, we have ADs, you know, that help get me to set. You know, like I'm just kind of this guy. I'm this, you know, kind of star. thing that like, all right, I'll do the amazing thing, but y'all gotta help me with the details like time and space. I'll do the spirit and the thing. The food's gonna be great, the performance gonna be great, but I need a little bit of help sometimes, like a handler. Like when I was on tour and had a handler, that shit was fucking amazing.
Now hiring for Eleven's handler of life.
Paying in weed and kisses.
I can't do it.
No, literally, she can't, because you're not a good handler. You're also a star, and you get very impatient when someone else doesn't, like, show up. And you're basically like, you left yesterday, she stormed out to go to the store, and she's like, I had all day.
Yeah.
Like, I had all day.
You understand. You have not
I totally
admitted
do.
that, like, you understand where my feelings were coming
I
from.
I called it necessary anxiety. I said it was necessary.
Right.
I said, like, how I felt was kind of like, oh, man, gotta get shit together. It's what I imagine on a very tight micro scale, what it must feel like to maybe have kids. Like, the reason why sometimes people, like, get more rich or something when they have kids or start a business or just kick things into gear when it's like, okay, they need some results, not excuses. Like, there's nothing I can say that's gonna... Oh, I'm sorry, guys. There's no food. I didn't like. I ended up editing instead of going to the store. There's no food. I know you said you're coming at 7. We knew this for a month. It's like I have this special ability to improvise. So that's really always been my conflict is planning. So improvise, amazing. But planning. But then one is so strong that I save myself from the other. And also like the fact that I grew up sometimes. It wasn't like, hey. Oh, I can't just go get food. It's like, no, we can't get food. Like, it's like, you have to understand that whatever we have, go.
Yeah.
You want to have people over or not? Like, you know, I can flip I can flip past that 1,000 different ways. So I'm not scared. Like, I know that I've, like, literally hosted Humble and Sandy one time before when I was like, oh my god, I have nothing, but I found like bits of arugula, I tried to make fucking tortillas in the last minute myself. I've never made tortillas before. Like, I don't know why I decided to do that. I'm so not scared until I'm right at the edge and I'm like, oh my god. And then sometimes that really helps me into it.
Yeah. And also I think like your ability, we were talking about this at dinner last night, your ability to compartmentalize. Like, you were doing your work yesterday. Like, you made a song yesterday. Like, yeah. You were in your creativity yesterday. He was in his office. And I spent most of the day cleaning. Is
there resentment about that?
No, because I knew that was my contribution to what was happening later that evening. But then when you showed yourself to not have been like this spontaneous thing where there was no planning in, like, your contribution is the food. And it was amazing. Your food was incredible. And like, you did not disappoint. But just like when you were like, I don't think, like, there was a moment where I felt like we don't have anything to feed these people. Like, that's how I felt. And I was just like, I just had all day. Like, I just wish there could have been more communication there up for your half of the contribution. Because I was doing my half of the contribution.
Yeah. And I think that, like, there's a little bit of this kind of tension point underneath us that's like, oh, there's 11 doing his art again, not taking care of life. Like, I literally, yeah. And I have this kind of bad kid complex that it's like, well, I don't care. Like, I'm going to do this art anyway.
And like, I even said, like, in my head yesterday, I was like, okay, like, I did find some time to work on stand-up, so I got that done anyways, and I felt good about that, wrote a new joke. And you're, like, at the center of so much of my joke, so, like, you probably, like, I should be thanking you, honestly.
I just hope that you find the same draw to do art. I think most time when people beef with me for doing art, it's because, like, they don't have the, not just you, but, like, you're like, fuck, I wish I was as drawn to write a song as he is, or I wish I was as drawn to do anything like these people think they're actors or whatever. Not you, but like, you're like, how the fuck
I think do you I just have that discipline? Like, heavily prioritize relationships more than you.
Hondo P.
So like, there is this, like, yeah, like, you prioritize that, and maybe I'm a little bit jealous of that
because over everything.
Yeah.
Like everything. Anything.
Like us. Which it, like,
well, the songs don't write themselves, as and, you know, contrary to popular belief. Like, I do, I'm an amazing freestyler, but like, you don't understand, like, you will lose momentum. Like, if I don't record, I record every day. And if I don't, that's, it pisses me off more than you know. So it's,
but
like,
you wouldn't have anything to record without relationships. Everything,
like, literally,
that
you bought me the mic.
No, like, literally, if you were the only person in the world, you would run out of things to record because there would be no one to play with. There would be no experiences to have to talk about, to be inspired by.
That's true. If I was just somewhere alone, I mean, I wouldn't be recording anyway because I'm not the guy who's going to invent a computer or mic. So those things wouldn't even be manifest. But, like, you don't have to serve those relationships beyond the realm of, like, self-fulfillment. There's definitely something there to consider and play with and talk about, because, like, you go into, your love looks like sacrifice, my love looks like self-fulfillment, so I can serve you better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's just some masculine, female, classic cis shit.
Yeah.
I think that's just some role-playing ass shit. I think that's some human convinced we are who we say we are type shit. But, like, I definitely feel when I'm recording at home, like, there's a tension there.
Oh, 100%.
Like, it's a problem. Like, it, basically, like, I do need a studio.
But not if I'm also, like, I'll go into the bedroom sometimes while you're recording.
You're okay.
If I'm working on art, I think that's good. But yeah, like, yesterday I was like, okay, my priority is this dinner tonight.
And that's fine. Like, you, yeah. Great. But, like, I don't, and at the end of the day, I don't need that long to prepare. Like, and I was doing food, like, you clean the kitchen, and then I'm just like, Ace, our cat, he's like, look at all the fucking climbing the curtains in there. That thing's going to fall. She's going to flip out and not do it again. You'll learn those lessons. But, yeah, like, as soon as she'll, like, clean the kitchen, and then I'll go start cooking. And she'll just be, like, exhausted and pissed off. And then she'll, like, clean the bathroom, and I'll, like, go take a shit. And she's like, I am exhausted.
Well, it's just, it's nice. Anyone listening right now, I bet you can resonate. Like, after you clean something, it's nice to be able to sit in the cleanliness of it for
but
a
I'm
second.
But I'm home, and I need these.
But we're living in this space. Like, this space is being lived in. So that's, you know, that's something that that's like a fault on me. Like, not a fault, but, like, you get what I'm saying. Like, I need to work on that because, yeah.
There's a different energy, though, when I'm editing our podcast and when I'm working on music. Like, you have...
Because it's us. Yeah, it's us, and then it's you.
So you have an opinion, though, about, like, what I'm doing when I'm working on
100%.
Art. So there's criteria that's okay.
But also, like... I don't have, like, you get moments of reprise from me. I'm the one who leaves this space. Right?
So there's entitlement
Yeah. So and there's just like, oh, I don't get moments to work on my craft alone. Like when I'm working on my craft, it's inside of our bedroom. I think we're just outgrowing
this space.
Mm-hmm. And like that, it comes like I'll take responsibility. I need to get to a place where I don't need you to change to feel good. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like? Does that look like deprioritizing relationships to prioritize stand-up? I don't know. That's what that doesn't feel good. Like, that doesn't feel good. I had a great time last night, and I'm going to cherish that night for a really long time. It meant a lot to me. So,
but
like,
if instead of starting to clean the bathroom at noon and then sitting around between 4 to 5, what about...
I mean, let's not forget that we fucked for an hour, too.
Nice. Awesome. Like, cheers to that. But that's not something that needs to be attacked. You should leave that in the sacred space. I'm trying to reconfigure some time here to say, can you prioritize stand-up in the morning? Like, that's usually what I do. Like, I built that muscle with the world record, and it never really stopped. Like, I get up, and I decided my contribution to this world is to make music. And so it's like when there's nothing to do, when I'm not getting picked up for a set, when I don't have to do something, I go record. It's like,
So ultimately, essentially, I'm feeling a type of guilt for a not enoughness, not enough creation of time by my standards to be able to fulfill these boxes that I've decided I want to make priority in my life. Mm. So what's going on is there's a guilt that's happening when I see you feel like serving your highest purpose, and I'm feel like I'm not prioritizing my highest purpose, which is also creativity. And I don't know how to...
I appreciate that.
Yeah, essentially, do I have to prioritize my schedule better? 100%. Is there time in my week? Yes, 100%. And I just don't do that because it's the harder thing to do. Maybe I didn't get enough sleep. Maybe whatever. Maybe it's winter.
Harder to do the craft when you're not as good at it. I didn't want to record when I wasn't as good at singing. Mm-hmm. I had to force myself, and that really was annoying.
Yeah.
Like when we lived in the shithole.
Stand up has been nothing but, like, every time I perform, I love doing it, but working on it has been nothing but annoying since I've started. Like, that's honestly what's going on.
You're attacked. Like, you feel attacked.
That's like even mean. Like, what? I'm like, what the fuck? But then the performance aspect of it is so much fun.
I mean, that's sex, right? That is sex. That's like when a human gets something that they were like, that feels good. And then you ask, like, say you're a teenager, you have sex for the first time. Then you think about, like, I'm going to have sex again. You're like, oh, am I? What's that going to be like? With who? Where? Like, you know, you're like fucking, oh, my God. Like, this blessing becomes like, oh, my God.
Right.
Right? So it's like, I think that's where you're at with stand-up. So it's like, definitely explore that. That's cool. I mean, all the pros we have on, I'm very excited to know that, like, it does go away, but it doesn't. Meaning, like, you're always kind of mentally excited of the opportunity, but your, like, gut relaxes. And
it's a little bit like the podcast where it's like, fuck, I'm just getting good now. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man, I won't even... If I have, like, I won't even sign up for some open mics at certain places because I'm like, I'm just not good enough. Like, why would
you
I
shouldn't
go,
think that.
Go there? Like, I need Don't to be better that. When I go there.
Don't
I
think know. That. Fuck. Don't crazy. Think that because you're holding yourself away from what you could learn from those pros.
I did just accept a bridal shower, though. Jan 13th, I'm doing a Zoom 15-minute set for a bridal shower, everyone.
A stand-up comedian?
Yeah.
I love that. You're doing COVID-style stand-up sets?
Yeah.
Paid gig?
Yeah.
Booked gig. Yeah. Fully booked gig over a computer. I love that. Congratulations.
I asked for $300 and their budget was $150. I don't care to share. I'm okay to share.
Oh, wow. These
you.
Are tiny.
Yeah, these are little guys. Yeah. But I accepted it. I was like, okay, I'll do it for $150.
I like that you started higher. Did you? So you let them know that you're like, this is a
I
deal.
Said, my. This is what I said. I was really proud of my business. I said, my preferred rate is $300. If that's not within your budget, I'd be willing to discuss.
5-minute set?
15.
Ooh.
It's big. It's a big set. But you know what? I was like...
You're so much younger. Yeah, literally, you're so much younger, and you haven't even really done stand-up professionally for that long yet.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, this will encourage me to get to open mic, so I'm working some of my stuff out so I can give them like a solid 15. But I've never done a Zoom stand-up before, and I honestly think it's going to be torturous.
No, yeah, I heard from Tyler Lemko that it is, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard from everyone that it is, but I was like,
no, it's gonna
you know
be
what,
fun.
Why not challenge myself in this regard?
I love that so much. Mm-hmm. Good for you. You should. And you know what? There's blessings that come through when you practice like that. Because remember when I had my double book night and I'm like, okay, I got to get on stage. So I finally hit up the Big Fam Jam after not going for a long time. Shout out Jackson. And I went, hopped on stage, flowed for like 20 minutes. Nah, like for like 5 minutes. It just felt so nice because the crowd was really just like, sir, oh man, like you put me on a stage because I got my stripes. You're going to feel really good about these stripes you get because I remember that shit used to give me so much anxiety. I couldn't pee. I couldn't eat. I couldn't, not, and it was all fucking weird. And then I get on stage and explode and people would love it. And now I get on stage and just like start rocking and people just like start rocking with me.
Yeah.
Because it's such a defined, it's such a refined pocket and avenue now. And like I just flowed until like Branko was hosting the night and he's like, all right, wrap it up. Because like the reason why I don't always go to the jams because it is more priority about like
community.
Like people practicing and I'm like, all right.
It's an open mic.
Yeah, literally. So, but you know, it's kind of like a free flow jam. So it's really cool. So if you're a musician in Toronto, go check out the Big Fam Jam. It's super cool. So I got on and selfishly rocked my own little pocket so I could practice. And that was just because I had two shows that Saturday, and I just swang through on the Tuesday, and I found a couple other places along the week to practice. But when I was performing, this sweet guy comes up to me, after I was done performing, this sweet guy comes up to me, Alan.
Love Alan.
And he's like, bro, like, that was so amazing. Like, I'm Alan. Nice to meet you. We met each other. He's like, can I get you on Instagram? And like came up to me. He knew right away as soon as he seen me rap. He was like, that would be perfect for this feature, for this. Like he really puts a lot of work into his song. Shout out Alan Blitz, man.
Yeah,
like,
shout out. We love Alan.
Great attitude. Beautiful guy. Brazilian guy, I think. Real sweet guy.
Makes sense.
He worked for the orchestra or the symphony orchestra.
As
their media guy. Anyway, but he's also this great rock singer. And like I love all genres. And so he's like, would you be open to this? I ended up manifesting this beautiful collab when I went through to practice for my show. And there's a whole story that goes with that. Maybe we'll get into that another time. But to get back to your point is like there's blessings along the way of practicing. You know, it's like you think you're just doing these open mics because you have this book show now, and you kind of just there's always good stuff. There's just always good stuff, and you get invited out more. I had to start my own show. I had to start my own open mic. I started putting other people on to get booked as much as you did because you give that gift and you get that gift. But you started getting booked even quicker. It is lucky that you're a female.
Yeah, like, but the females time. Out here, like, Toronto...
Funny.
Yeah, like, there's no lack of, like, competition, I would say. Like,
Toronto has killer comedians.
At first, when I started stand-up, I was like, oh, my God, like, this is going to be easy.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think that because I was so nervous. But there was this element of, like, but I am a woman, and female comics are being prioritized now, which is wonderful.
Well, we want to see women who are... That's the base of it. Is like, whether you say Puff Mama puts it on, whoever. All these different people put it on. Sure, some of them are women. But, like, honestly, it's any show. It's like, just this is such a bullshit stigma that women aren't funny. It's not true.
Yeah. Yeah. And but it was the same thing. I was sort of recently went through the same thing where I was like, that I did in acting, where I was like, fuck, like this element of lack when you see other people doing what you want to be doing is so annoying in my body. And I'm at a place really, truly where I can understand intellectually, like, I'm seeing success because I'm on my way to it.
Yeah,
I get that. So it's been easier, actually, as I get older, to actually feel good for people.
Actually?
Actually. But it doesn't have to be this big thing. I think I was trying to feel good for people, and it became this big thing. Whereas now it's just like sort of a passing, oh, nice, cool, awesome, nice, good.
It's just a wink. Just take it for what it is for you. It's a wink. Like people that I came up with winning Grammys, winning Junos, playing the Madison Square Garden, like all these things that I was like, those are for sure. Even if when we were side by side back in the day, people would have been like, oh, it could be 11 over this person. Like, you know, and then you're like, good for you. And then it's like.
But actually good for you.
No, but for real, because I'm just like, first of all, represent Toronto. We're on the same team. Open up another door for me. That means that I was cut from the same class. Maybe not cloth originally, because we're all different people, but class. You know, I was in that school of class. So it's like, and that's what you learn back in the day. Joni Mitchell and like James Moore, like all these people knew each other. Of course, how could you not? Like the people that had play keys for me, I'm not going to brag about it. But like, that's sick. That's sick. That's enough. If that's not enough, then you're not really doing the thing that, then you just want the fame. It's enough that he played keys for me, that they've played drums for me, that they fuck with me, did a collab for, that they even introduced me or would spend time with me.
Yeah.
If the reflection of worth is what you need, then think about the fact that you even crossed, you know, you even crossed avenues with this person. That's tremendous.
I just wanted to talk about, I guess, like it's New Year's soon. It's going to be a new year in a couple days. And I don't think I said this last time, but I had mentioned to you, I had a moment last week on my bicycle where I was thinking about all of the places I'd like to play at as a comedian and thinking about just the big audiences and
it's fun.
Sort of this kind of intense outcome though, you know, like not really at all the journey to it, just sort of you are holding this final vision. And I had a moment where I was like, there's something that I feel separated from. Like, I like it. I like the idea of this, but it feels too far away.
Do you want to know why?
Sure.
You're not the you who's on that timeline yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, so it's like, if you visualize yourself, let's just like, take our realness out of it because it's probably a big stage or an award. Think about you want to be a bodybuilder, right? And then you visualize yourself winning like Mr. Universe or Mrs. Universe or whatever. And that medal, and it's hard for your skinny ass right now to believe that you could put in the work to get buff enough to win that award. So it's hard, like Abraham Bailey, can't get there from there. Enjoy the journey along to it because as soon as you fall in love with working out, then your progress just fucking skyrockets.
Okay, so this is what happened. I was like, let's find something that just feels better inside of my body, less reactive. It wasn't that it was bad. It was just almost too highly stimulating.
You're full of shit.
Yeah.
You're kind of full of shit. You left this, you're fucking full of shit.
And
you're told that I said it last night at dinner. I was like, God, can everyone just get mad at each other so I can actually hear something authentic for once?
Yeah.
You fucking affirming bitches. You pussy ass affirming bitches.
All right.
Don't pretend to be my friend. Okay, go.
The goal all of a sudden did not become the fame and fortune and very momentary validation.
Recognition.
All of a sudden, I was like, I just want to have a great set. It was the first time that I actually was like, the goal is not, I just want to like have this a great, clever set that people go, wow, that was really funny.
What's going to get you a fucking,
needed those big laughs. And all of a sudden that my body felt, I like the vibration of intensity came into like a full natural feeling in my body. And I got excited about that. I was like, oh my God, that's the goal. That's the outcome that I'm looking for. It's nothing else. And so like, when we're doing that with any goals that we have in life, talking about the new year, like just take a look at what feeling your goal is currently
generating
inside, yes, of your body.
Yes.
Because if it's too highly stimulating, like I just feel like we're going to procrastinate on that.
And here's what happens if you hold it in place like I did. You work in spite. And that was fucked up because I've had to do a lot of mental rearranging myself. So when you start thinking, okay, I'm not good enough, whatever, hood kid, doubted, no backing, nothing, hit the streets alone, okay, you got to win everyone over that's ever become your friend. You got to be better than you got to not need friends to get them. So these are all my, like, you know, beliefs going in. And then I had all the shit about being white and being a rapper. So many of my freestyles used to start with calling that out, unnecessary. All these chips that I stacked against myself in my head just to like withstand when there was an ounce of doubt or an ounce of hesitation before. So even like when I started rapping, you'd still get this, oh yeah, you're a rapper? Like you'd still get this kind of shitty attitude from people instead of them understanding, like now it's like, oh, first of all, rap's on the radio, so congrats, a song could go viral. Like people have better attitudes about it now because of the work that we've done. And you know, you end up building this kind of thick skin that like doesn't help you get to your actual end goal, but it will get you in the fight. So like the fight to become better, the fight to be able to find that perspective where I just want a good set. You don't even realize that you're doing a service that could be a business at first when you step on stage. It's all about you. It's all about like trying to find yourself through this craft.
But then there is some anxiety of like making it your business. Like...
Well, eventually when you get good at it, that you're selling it, which basically you're already at that point.
Bridal shower.
Yeah, it becomes less about, you got lots of good material for that though.
I know, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it becomes... less about almost, and this isn't a good thing, I don't think, but it becomes less about what you want to say and more about what you think they want to hear from you. And this is when I realized, this is when I made the transition from like party trick to performance artist. And I'd say that there's more freestyle rappers out there that are famous off of the party trick, like all respect to Harry Mack, but like the way he raps is a party trick. So I would think like Blue Bag, right? Someone says Blue Bag, or maybe you know it's from Cookies. Okay, so I have these ideas that could be punchlines, that could be bars, and I'm going to set you up for them at the ABAB. So like the end of the second bar and the fourth bar, and they're just going to have throwaway lines to set them up. So it means butchering the first line. It means nothing. And often rappers say, yo, I'm the best, kind of like it's a nothing, like pull up in my whatever, like it's like just so you can end that first sentence with something that will rhyme with Blue Bag, you know. So you could just be like, like if people have the looks that you have, they'd be as dope as this blue bag, true, like you'd set it up and just so you can say I'm on the mic and I'm flowing and you know where this is going. Like you're wasting time and that's a party trick and you gotta like set it up and Hail Mary punch those kind of familiar, simple, hey, look at the blue bag type lines. But when I became a performance artist is more when I returned back to what I wanted to do. So if it's like, if you need the first two bars to like ding you, that's cool. But like you should respect what I'm doing as an art form and listen, give me the song. Give me the song. I'm rhyming. Give me the song. So I did it enough. I did it like with one-liners for like years, house parties, like gigs, like unpaid gigs, like just realizing that like how to fight, basically, right? You're like learning how to fight. And then like you really get in the ring where people are now paying attention to you, and it's like a dance. You're like, come with me, come with me. You know, Nitish is good at this. He's like,
yes.
He'll just like sit in it for a minute.
Yeah.
Like light his joint, like take a minute. Like, yeah. Oh, you're with me. Did you not realize? I'm on stage. Like, I'm in control. Like, you can leave if you want.
Yeah.
But if you're here, this is my time.
Yeah.
Like,
Mark Little is really good at that too.
Mark Little is just like a rambunctious kid in class. I fucking think that guy's so funny.
He's so funny. He's in New York now and he's good. Fucking killing it. He's blowing up on Insta.
And that's what we got to do. People, even you guys, and I love you so much, but you are going to share our content so much more when we're not in Toronto anymore, because you met us in Toronto and then we leave and then you're like, ooh, it's a journey. It's just more exciting and interesting. I get it.
And when numbers start getting big, it's okay. It's like,
you almost take ownership. You will.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And especially you guys watching us right now at this phase, I just want you to know that like you will be recognized as the original community and group and core adapters. So thank you so much. Yeah. Love you.
You'll already be sharing our stuff.
I don't know that. I don't know that.
I know. I was thinking about why people don't comment on the videos.
YouTube, like we get like 100-ish views right now, per episode, and there's only like, you know, 5 comments, not even sometimes. And I'm like, why is that so low? Like, well, you know why? Because people play us on their TV. That's why. I just fucking realized that now.
Oh my God. Thank you for playing us on your TV.
Well, we knew that because people send us, they tag us on the story. And
yeah.
It's very rare someone's watched. Sometimes someone's watching it on a laptop at work, which I love.
It's a good thing to have on. You were hitting shorts last week too. Everything's moving in the right direction.
We're trying to figure it out. I mean, okay. I think this is part of the journey of just like, I'm humbly... Like, I never went viral as a music artist, so I don't know what makes something viral. And I've had lots of friends that... It seems that that's the perfect concoction, right? You get... Something happens where there's an extreme tipping point, and you just accumulate all this notoriety, and if you have the catalog and brand to back it, you retain a certain amount of those new eyeballs. Like, your attention is good. So say if you blow up, and just like what happened with you when you got that Netflix movie or with Elise and stuff, it's like you go like visibility and then there's like a portion that sticks with you and then you just keep doing that. That's basically marketing in the digital age. Diddling age.
Markling in the diddling age.
Anyway,
so weed is so tight.
Weed is tight. Anyway, what was I saying about digital marketing? Anyway, follow us on Instagram.
Yes. As we started this episode.
Oh yeah, I was saying viral. So I don't know. Sorry. I want you to go back, but just to finish that thought. I don't know what makes something viral. Spandy went viral. Matt went viral. So
I think
friends
there's
of
a couple-
Humble went viral. Friends of mine have gone viral. Jag even went viral.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people know I have this kind of special juice, but like the right asset just hasn't popped off yet. I hope it's the podcast. I hope it's as much as like it's probably going to be my music, but it's like I'm glad that it's also the podcast if it does turn out to be that way, because there's a great message here. I mean, I hold mindfulness at the core of all my messaging, but anyway, it's not like you can pick and choose anyway.
Okay.
We're trying to figure out why this podcast would be the most valuable to the world and explain that in 30 seconds or, you know, less.
Yeah.
Or a minute or less or a reel.
I think there's something around for reels. I think there's something around the mindful aspect of what we do.
Yeah.
Because that can obviously target non-smokers or consumers as well.
And I think that's our main actual focus and priority here is like we love the legacy, especially, you know, those are my homies from time, but like the new adapters need the guidance the most, and anyone getting into weed, like anyone who's already smokes weed, we love you, we're all learning and growing together. Maybe our focus on this drug wasn't as good as it could have been introduced to us in terms of a mental tool when we first got into it. You know, we were told it was a drug. Now, clean slate. Let's frame this as a medicine. Come in, start low, go slow. like do it with friends. Like, you know, like there's all these great actual guidance points that we can offer and great experts that come on the show can offer. And then someone can try weed with us from here on. And like that's a community I know for sure needs the guidance, and I'm happy to paint that picture for them because I'm pretty fascinated with it. And we stay students. We don't claim to be experts. We stay students. We keep learning. Speaking of which, maybe I'll throw in the little vlog from Trees where we actually have a little clone.
I have to go.
That's it, eh?
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to that and say that, like, yeah, if you're uncomfortable with calling this a medicine for whatever reason, I just think that...
Go fuck yourself.
No, I don't think that. Like, because some people just think that that's cliche, a joke, whatever, and thinking, wait until science comes out, I don't care. But it is under wellness. I treat this the same way as I do my yoga practice, cold plunges, smoothies, fresh juices. Mm. Like, this is all under a thing that nourishes my mind and body. Mm. So that's how I want to promote the use of this plant, is like under wellness, not necessarily medicinal, although they can go hand in hand. But I just wanted to throw that out there. Mm. And I also wanted to tell people the fun fact.
Fun fact.
In the southern hemisphere, hurricanes rotate in a clockwise direction. And in the northern hemisphere, they rotate anti-clockwise. This is due to what's called Coriolis force, produced by the Earth's rotation.
Wow.
So interesting, Earth.
Wind flow.
I've had a lot of fun with you today, and it's very clear. I'm sure that the audience can see that we walked up the emotional scale.
Fixed our vibration up here now.
And I'm super grateful for that. Thanks, everybody.
Proper morning jam. Documented. Love you. Have fun. Get ready. Have a great life. Love you. I'll close this out. It's good that this episode manifested from what we started the podcast's intention as. We used to have these great... We still do have these great jams. And... Shit, one sec. Ugh. And now thanks for watching, guys. I love you. Subscribe, tell a friend. These are the jams.
You ever see something so true that you couldn't unsee it? Something that you just knew would serve you. Whether it be self-awareness, plant medicine, a lover, a career. That's what we get down to here. Welcome to Disciplined Stoners, the gateway drug to mindfulness. Spark up or don't, and enjoy the show. Glad you're here.
It, there's no way that you can fake it. Say it every single day. Use it like an affirmation. If you waiting, then you staking what you making on the way. Then always know that I can make it, but too basic to go save it. Broke stay broke, and the rich get richer. Who's gonna pull themselves up by they knickers? Or you stay scared and let it get bigger? Or you can learn and become a winner. You brought 4 grams through, I put more in a blunt. Yeah, it is a bit excessive, you can say what you want. If you need more right now, let me forge the trunk. It's a form of my abundance, I got more than enough. I wanna say that it's important, but that's corny as fuck. But if you try to hold on, then your fortune is stuck. And if you focus on the shit, then you get more of the stuff. So focus on a chicken, have an orgy and stuff. And all this at once is calling my bluff. Cause my mind is stuck in an unfortunate funk. When I drive, I don't even stop at the pump. Trying to keep bucks like I'm saving up.
I don't want the same faith that you had. I don't wanna live life like my dad. I wish I was not angry and sad. Time to get rich, bitch. I don't want the same faith that you had. I don't wanna live life like my dad. I wish I was not angry and sad. Time to get rich, bitch.
Now you know that I am cunning when I'm going for the money. And I always keep it moving 100 when I'm running. And I always put an invoice in everything I'm doing. If the outcome is an income, we ain't doing it. They don't want us to know how to do our taxes. It's because they don't want you stepping at your bracket. Bankers got a lock monopoly on them rackets.
But don't call it out, they wired to and they tapped in.
Get your ass shadow banned, you can even handle that. High five with a half a hand, try to manage that. I collect the bags like a first class garbage man. Chop it up with the bros like a slab of venison. Money in these streets will make you forget your innocence. Money in these deals will make you forget your innocence. And you're not innocent, no one there to witness it. I became a businessman, now I'm out here killing shit.
I don't want the same fate that you had. I don't wanna live life like my dad. I wish I was not angry and sad. Time to get rich, bitch. I don't want the same fate that you had. I don't wanna live life like my dad. I wish I was not angry and sad. Time to get rich, bitch.
If you really wanna make it, there's no way that you can fake it. Say it every single day. Use it like an affirmation. If you waiting, then you sticking what you making on the way. Then always knew that I could make it.